This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hilger.
Let your future and faith come alive here at the Light.
You know, we've been teaching thus far on Even Now Faith, and we found out that it is beyond the crossroads of wondering what I'm going to do. The Even Now position of faith is that I do know what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to trust God. I'm going to continue to stand in faith, and I will be victorious. That's what the Even Now faith position is all about. It is not wondering what I'm going to do. It is not continuing to explore options. For the believer who's in the Even Now faith position, you've already explored the options. And even now, you are going to trust God to bring to pass his will in your life. And so when we really clearly understand the faith process, we don't really run away from the fight. We understand that's part of it. Amen. We don't get discouraged in the fight. We understand that's a part of it. So Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look there at verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of what? Patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I read it out the Amplified. It says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. Now, so when we read that about the faith, about living by faith and operating in faith, the difficulty is to is really by the orchestrated by the enemy to get me to quit, to get me to approach my life some other way than what the scripture says, that the just live by faith. Living by faith. This is not about using faith as an emergency or using faith to get something that I want, but it's a lifestyle of me trusting God and believing God and standing fast and not throwing away my confidence. Amen. So now in this second part, I want to talk about how we demonstrate this Even Now commitment. Now that I made the commitment that I'm going to hang in there, now that I made the commitment that I'm going to trust God, now that I have made the commitment that the devil's not going to chase me off the blessings of the Lord, now that I've made the commitment that I'm going to stand strong, and having done all to stand, I'm still standing. Now that I've done that, what do I do? Because I need to have an understanding of my plan of action now that I'm in Even Now faith. Amen. So understanding this Even Now strategy is my point, first point, and then we'll have only another point, understanding the Even Now strengthening. So let's look at the strategy, because as I said before, when I'm in an Even Now faith position, I have settled that this is the way to live. I have settled that this is the way that I am going to achieve the dreams and goals that I have in life and in my heart, that I'm going to be a faith person. I don't have to rethink that. I live by faith. Everybody say, I live by faith. Yeah, I live by faith, because by faith, I can receive the promises of God. The promises of God are received by faith. The will of God is not automatic. The promises of God are received by faith. That is something that the Lord told me years ago when I first started. He started teaching me faith, because I had the understanding from the culture, church culture I grew up in, that whatever the Lord would want to do, he would do anyway. And when that gets down inside of you, then you have the, you know, well, why do I need to do that? If the Lord wanted to heal me, he'll heal me. If the Lord wanted to deliver me, he'd deliver me. It's up to him. No, it's not up to you. Up to him. It's really, you have a role to play. Is it the will of God for everybody to be saved? Yes. But the person has to do something. They have to receive the salvation that has been freely offered, even though it's offered by grace, even though it's made available by the unmerited favor of God. Still, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt, shalt believe, in thy heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, I mean, a person has a responsibility. The promises of God are received by faith. Now, go to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at a particular promise, but I want to give you a scripture reference. I'm not going to take for granted that everybody understands this faith process. So this first thing is, I'm recommitting myself to this whole faith process of living by faith and trusting God. So Galatians chapter 3, and then verse 13. Are you there? All right, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33. Promises of God are received by faith. So when God makes a promise in the scripture, it is faith that will cause that promise to be manifested in your life. Verse 33, when it's talking about the heroes of faith, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, all right, stopped the mouths of lions. So I understand the promises are received by faith. Problems are resolved by faith. See, I've explored all the options on the way to live, and I understand faith is the only way to go. So this even now position is that I'm not searching for other options. I've already come to the conclusion that I'm a faith person. Amen. Amen. You're one of those faith persons. That's right. Amen. Why? Problems are resolved by faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. All right. Whatsoever is born of God overcome. Let's go to 1 John 5, 4 so I can get this into you. Amen. All right, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Our faith. So I understand that promises are received by faith. Problems are resolved by faith. Watch this. My potential is realized by faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. When I preach it to pastors, I always preach this to them because it says that my ministry is going to be a product of my faith. So what God has for me is going to be a product of my faith. And pleasing God comes by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So all of these things are accomplished by my faith. So I look at the scope of possibilities of faith. Living by faith just makes sense. Look at the person that said, just makes sense. Just makes sense. Promises come to pass. Problems are resolved. Potential is realized. Pleasing God is reached. Living by faith is just something that you ought to do. Amen. Now, I got to understand the practice of faith. I must understand the scriptural practice of faith. Let's go to Mark 11. I quoted it earlier, but I want you to see it because what I'm doing when I'm in this even now position is I'm just choosing to do what I've already understood to do. I'm going to do a checkup on my faith, but I'm solid. I'm sold out. Can't talk me out of this. Amen. Can't talk me out of faith. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, Mark chapter 11, here Jesus teaches on faith. That's what makes it so vitally important to understand it because Jesus took time to teach the disciples on faith. Verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. This is power-packed scripture. Amen. Because it gives what I call the ABCs of faith when practicing faith. Now, watch this. When I'm in this even now position where the devil has tried to talk me out of it, it has not worked as fast as I thought it was going to work. Or I may be in a position where, things are worse than they looked before. But I still got the promise of God in my life, I need to really evaluate how I'm practicing faith. Because many times I can have a misguided expectation because I don't understand the variables of faith. Everybody say the variables. All right, one variable of faith, and the faith requires that I really understand the will of God. The will of God, because faith brings the will of God to pass. But if I am believing for something that's not the will of God, my faith won't work on it. No, my faith won't work on it if it's not the will of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where is the will of God found? The will of God is found in his word. So faith starts where the will of God is known. Where the will of God is known. Now, God does say he will give me my desires, but those desires cannot conflict with what the will of God is, with what the word of God says. Years ago when we were on television and we may have been live. No, we were not live. We were answering the phones. And I was preaching about God giving you desires of heart. And this guy called in and said, well, I want y'all to agree with me for God to give me a kilo of cocaine. He's serious too, because he heard that he's serious. He's serious. And we told him, no. Your desire. But God will give you a desire that's consistent with his word. Those things that pertain to life and godliness is what God promises. See, we had to get him straight on that. So that's one of the variables, is that I have to know it's the will of God. Whether I know it's the will of God from the Logos word of God, or I know it's the will of God from the Rhema word of God. Now, what you mean, Rhema? That means when God speaks to me. See, I can't find nowhere in here where God say, do love city. But it's a Rhema word. God spoke to me. I hear his voice. I know how to hear his voice. I can't find nowhere in here where God says, now you dedicate that building without a mortgage and you do it on this day. But because of my relationship with God and my fellowship with God, I heard God. And when I get a Rhema word from God, I hear God. It is just as viable and valuable as the written word, because God said it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. 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 All right, so that's number one. The variable is it's got to be consistent with the will of God. Number two, it must respect the will of a man. The will of a man. Many times you're praying for somebody to be healed and they want to go to heaven. Okay, many times it's not that extreme, but they don't want to get healed because they want their settlement. Now, y'all laughing, but that's true. I mean, I was going to pray for them. Listen, no, don't pray for me now. I got to go to the doctor, and then because I don't want that. They need to see what they got to seek so I can make my insurance report. No, that's just the reality of it. Some folk want to be sick. Amen. Because if they are sick and they can prove it, then they can get some insurance money. And it's dangerous to play with. Because when you open the door for sickness and disease, you can't stop what else comes in. And I've watched it. I've watched it in people's lives, man. You know, folk trying to get a little settlement and, kind of said, you know, in the, threw away their faith instead of saying, by stripes, I'm healed. Yeah. Because they didn't want that. They didn't want to be healed. They wanted to get some compensation. Yep. It's dangerous when you do that. Because you open the door and you have no control of what else comes in.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The will of man. So many times you're praying for people to be healed and they die. And then you go blame yourself. That was a whole family because the pastor was he was a bishop. Their father was a bishop and they all prayed for him to be healed and he died and they all blamed themselves. So we flew their whole family down, here so I could talk to them. No. He wanted to go be with the Lord. You didn't have all the cards on that one. You didn't have a trump card on that one. His will trumped your will. And God honored his will. Because Paul says, I'm in a straight betwixt. I can go be with God now or I can stay with you. So I got to understand, don't beat yourself up because you were praying for somebody to be healed. And then the curtain of immortality was rolled back. They got to look over in heaven. And look back at this body, look to what heaven, and say, see you. Amen. Then there are other timing factors. Bible talks about timing factors. I think Lady Bridget's doing the study. We was talking about it. Or she may do a teaching on God's timing. No, she was listening to some men. But the whole thing is about God's timing. And you got to understand. I mean, he has a timetable many times that must be respected because of everything he's pulling together. And I've got to respect God's timing. Amen. And so, you know, some doors you don't need to kick down. He'll let you kick them down, but then you're going to have to do everything else. Amen. And then the order of things. Everybody say the order of things. So I have to respect the order of things as well. And so these are variables that I take in consideration, and that when I'm in this even now position, I go down the line to make sure I am respecting the variables of faith. Amen? Now, so in Mark chapter 11, he talks about the asking. Yeah, what things have you desire when you pray? That's the asking. Believe you receive them. I know how to believe. I accept for fact, based on the word of God, that for which I have no sense or evidence. It's an act of faith. Believe you receive it and you shall have it. Everybody said, believe you receive? Now, receiving is a spiritual act. I understand spiritually everything exists already. See, there's no real conflict with how people teach grace and how we teach grace and what the Word of God says. Yes, God's already done it.
Amen.
It's already done. Anything you're going to ask God for, he already knows it. And he's already done it. He's finished with it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I believe I receive when I choose by an act of my will to receive, believe it's on the way. That the process has been initiated and it's being delivered. All right. I say, here's a good illustration. On Sunday mornings, we have a group of people who prepare pastor's breakfast. Thank God for them.
Amen.
I have a lot of pastors say, man, you can eat before you preach. Been doing it for years.
All right.
Man, I can't eat at all. I say, fine for you, but I can eat. I can eat a full meal. I think it was Mac Ivor, because we told Pastor Mac Ivor we had breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. I can't eat. I cannot eat before I preach. And I said, well, if that would work for you, then glory to God. But I can eat. So we have a group of ladies who prepare a breakfast for me. And many times, watch this, it's prepared before I get here. Much of it's already prepared before I get here. So it's already done. Everybody say it's already done. Now, they don't serve it till I ask for it. You missed it. See, though it's already done, it's not served until I ask for it. I initiate the process. So it is with the things God's already done for you. He already knows what you're going to ask for. And eternity past, you've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Your healing's already done. Your deliverance already done. Whatever you're going to ask for, it's already done. Watch this. But it's not delivered till you work the faith process. Amen, amen, amen. And so part of that process is me confessing it. Death and life is in the power of my tongue. I have to say it. He says, Abraham called things to be not as though they were. They're saying it. Cast not away your confidence in the Lord. It says, hold fast to your profession. Over in Hebrews, we read that earlier. So what I say is important because this world operates on words. Amen. And the Bible says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that makes your words the most powerful thing. And most believers don't realize how powerful their words are. I'm just sick as a dog. Oh, really? You have what you say. Man, this tooth is killing me. Oh, really? Is that really what you believe? Is that really what you want? You have what you say. And when you start realizing the power of your words and your mouth, some things you just not going to say because you've embraced the principle that you have what you say. And when you start believing you have what you say, you gonna have what you say. I'm talking about the good stuff. Oh yeah, I believe. I believe I'm gonna have what I say. I have to watch what I say. Because many times when it comes to communicating, I'm very careful of what I say. Because what I say, I believe. I believe my words make things happen.
Amen.
All right. And then, of course, there's the demonstration. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And we're talking about corresponding action. I got to act like it's so. Amen. I have to understand what I call the supernatural pipeline of faith, and that's my expectation. When I'm in faith, God gives me a plan of action. I'm looking for a plan of action. Number two, I'm looking for the miraculous. God to do that thing which is miraculous. These are various expectations when I'm in faith. I'm not blind when I'm in faith. I know what I'm expecting, a plan of action. I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting, watch this, the wisdom of God. I'm expecting of the favor of God. God to raise up somebody to help me. And then I'm also expecting strength to endure. Everybody say strength to endure. And we're going to focus on the strength to endure tonight. But I can tell you in every faith situation, even now situation, my expectations don't change.
Amen. I need a plan of action. Amen. And many times, I need everything on the list. No, I need everything. I want everything on the list. I need a plan of action. Amen. I was hurt, man. I need a plan of action. I want a miracle. Just like it did in the Bible. Then we had to point away a question. I knew it wasn't going to be miraculous. I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need to know what to do. I need favor, God, to raise up somebody to help me. We had to find the right doctor. Amen. Then I need strength to endure when he told me we're going to do our best to medicate you. And he said it twice. He let me know, buddy, you about to have some pain. And boy, I had to start confessing, Mama and Jesus. Oh, God. Amen. I need a strength to endure. We made it. Amen. Everybody say, even now, even now. So I understand these are those. Y'all have those expectations down? Because a lot of people, when they're in faith, they don't understand. They don't understand this facet of it, that my faith is going to manifest a plan of action. My faith is going to manifest a miracle, so the supernatural. God does it supernaturally in a way that nobody can explain. My faith is going to manifest the wisdom of God, the correct application of knowledge. My faith is going to manifest the favor of God. God raise up somebody to help me. And my faith will manifest, watch this, strength to endure. Amen. Strength to endure. This is what I'm expecting when I'm living by faith. This is not a magic wand that's waved. I understand it's a process. Everybody say, and I trust the process. All right, now, go on your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 and 12, because when we look at this, we understand that not only, oh, Lord Jesus, amen, not only do I evaluate the spiritual process, but I establish scriptural patience. Now we have an understanding, many times an understanding of patience, that patience has to do with just kind of sitting there waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. No. Scriptural patience has to do with you continuing to do with tenacity that which you know to do, even if it does not look like it's working, because you know it is working. I said a mouthful. Everybody say, he said a mouthful in. All right. Now, I remember when Lady Bridget and I first got into the faith walk years ago, and man, I mean, it was taking a long time for stuff to happen. And we were saying, now, you know, maybe we must be doing something wrong. Then we got close enough to faith people to understand, no, this stuff ain't magic. They waiting too. They just didn't tell you the waiting part. They cut the waiting part out their testimony. Verse 6 says, watch this, verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and what?
Patience.
Faith and what? And patience inherit the promises. Who through faith and patience. Faith and patience. So I've got to understand scriptural patience. It does not diminish my faith. With compromising confessions and all that sort of thing. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. You know, if the Lord wants to, he will. I'm just waiting on the Lord. You know, and all the time, you know, it ain't like you want to be in. He may not come when you want it to me. He'll always want to. Patience is this resolve that gives birth to a tenacity to continue operating in faith, even in the face of give up opportunities. I'm going to stay in faith. Keep believing, keep trusting, keep talking faith, keep rejoicing, even though I have an opportunity to give up. Even when sometimes giving up will make me feel better.
Yeah. Amen.
When giving up may almost like it'll ease the pressure. You know, man, I'm looking at this building, we had no ceiling. Jesus, it took 3 weeks to do the ceiling. That's what everybody had given us. They told us it's going to take 3 weeks to do the ceiling. And on the day, that Monday, before we, Larry flashed this. Okay. Even the angels saying amen. On the day, on that week, Larry fires the ceiling man. It is so easy to say, hey, we couldn't finish because. But we didn't back off. Amen. And I got to tell you, sometimes you feel like giving up.
Yes.
So that's the reality of it. You feel like giving up. Well, I got to keep confessing this. I don't know how God going to get this thing done. Folk looking at me, asking me, when you going to do it? When you going to do it? When y'all going to get your house? I thought you said you're going to get a new car. You still ain't got a new car. I done got two new cars. And you been testing your first car. You ain't got your car yet. If I say even now. All right, so patience now is so vitally important. Go to James now, chapter 1. James chapter 1. It is this tenacious resolve to continue to operate the principles, to work the process, even though it may not appear to be working, because I know it is. Everybody say, I know it is. All right, there's a principle of patience, and it's so clear in the Bible. And the Bible talks about how patience will have its perfect work and how I have need of patience. So there in James chapter 1, everybody say, I'm a patient believer. Yeah, you got to confess that, because now you know what it is. It means I can continue to do what I know to do even when it doesn't appear that it's working, because I know it is. Everybody say, I know it is. Yeah, he's faithful at promise. He already put himself on the line. He says he's faithful at promise. So something's got to be working. And I just got to trust that it's working. Amen. All right. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this. What am I knowing? That the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's amazing. Patience is working. Yeah, patience is working. Everybody say patience is critical. Yeah, the pattern of patience is critical in the scripture. I got a pattern of patience with Abraham. I mean, got a pattern of patience with Noah. I got a pattern of patience with Elijah. All of these people who had to stand fast for what they believed. So if they had to do it, the pattern is set so that I would understand. We follow people who through faith and patience. So that's why as your leader and as your pastor, I'm very transparent. I let you know what I'm going through many times. You follow me in teaching and that sort of thing. So you'll understand. You know, nobody waved a magic wand and just boom, things just happened. No, we had to stand in faith. We bought this land for $344,401. But we started believing for it when it was like almost $2 million. God said, that's what I want you to buy. And when we went to start buying it, had no money. And they told, God came out and told us how much they wanted for this land out here. God said, buy it. I'm going to back off. And then when the economy changed and that sort of thing, then they came back to us and said, we'll drop the price. And we finally negotiated, because I gave them such a low ball price. The guy called, I think Ray Griffiths was on our staff then, told Ray, please tell your pastor that we can't sell it for any less than $344,401. I said, y'all got a deal, because they wanted to move it. And we bought it for $344,401. You're amazed why I remember that, don't you? Yeah, $344,401, we bought it. And initially it was going up for almost $2 million. Amen. So I'm just trying to tell. So I try to be transparent with you when you understand and things don't look like they're going right. You don't get out of your faith even now. Amen. Everybody say even now. Amen. All right, watch this. So patience is working. It's working to allow you time to examine your lifestyle. It's working to allow you to review your confession. It's my confession on it. So it's working. It's giving me time. All right. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, because patience is based on the strength that I have. It's a spiritual strength, not a mental strength, but it's a strength that comes from the inside. From the inside. Amen. This is not mind over matter. No. And so patience is working. Everybody say, my patience is working on it. Yeah, I'm putting my patience on it. My patience is working on it. Amen. My patience is working on a lot of things. Amen. Man, I'm continuing to do what I know to do because I know it's working. Amen. Amen. Everybody say it's working.
It's working.
Yeah, it's working. Angels are at work behind the scenes making stuff happen. It's working. Yeah, I'm telling you, I believe that. That it's working. See, I'm not just saying it. I really believe it. I believe there's some things I'm praying for. Whew. I'm getting frustrated. Well, it's still my joy. I don't let this stuff steal my joy right now. Uh-uh. Praise the Lord. You know, and, you know, I shared with you where we are. You know, our church, we got to come up with some funds to get some stuff done. Amen. But you ain't going to watch me around here crying, oh, I'm going to do. And Lady Bridges, you know, see how she received the offering with such faith and confidence. Amen. Patience is working on it. God already knows what he's going to do. He's already working on that. We walk around that house. We talk faith. We have to figure out who you talking to. Because she's around there talking to God. I'm around there talking to God. And we're around there talking to stuff.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking to members. In the name of Jesus, God is opening your eyes, giving you a heart for your ministry, for your church in Jesus' name. Where you value this ministry, what it's done for you, what it's done for your family, what it's doing for the body of Christ. Yeah. You value it enough to sow into it. You value it enough to bring the lost to it. That's making my confession, you see. Because death and life is in the power of my tongue. I'm not going to let it steal my joy. So quit letting what you were believing for and waiting for steal your joy. Yeah. Put your patience on it. Amen. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. All right, watch this. Watch this. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you there? Hallelujah. All right. Everybody say, he's strengthening me. Ooh, all right. Now, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Everybody say, his strength. And that's what it is. God wants to infuse you with his strength. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to learn some about the strength of God because you're going to leave here with his strength tonight on the inside of you. That's going to well up on the inside of you. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter, what did I tell you? Chapter 3, and let's look there in verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, watch this, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the what? Inner man. So we're not talking about physical prowess when we're talking about God's strength, but we're talking about an internal strength in my inward man, a spiritual strength, a spiritual stamina that manifests itself with mental tenacity and mental toughness. But it comes from the inside. It does not come because I got somebody's coaching me in my ear telling me, okay, get back in the fight. No, I got an inside impartation of spiritual power that keeps me strong. All right, watch this. Go with me to Bibles now, and let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we are looking at spiritual strength now. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. All right. Watch this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Now we're talking about through Christ, that's the anointed one. So I can do all things through this anointing that strengthens me. I'm strengthened by an anointing. Everybody say, I'm strengthened?
I'm strengthened
by an anointing. All right, now let's move on. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, this strength of the spirit in the heart allows one to endure adversity, to be courageous, to see the will of God come to pass. It is necessary to have this spiritual fortitude to manage the distasteful times in faith. Amen. So in Colossians chapter 1, everybody says it's a spiritual strength. Yeah, this is a spiritual strength. And boy, when you understand, it's by the Spirit of God. Amen. All right. All right, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all patience, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Amen. All right, so again, what are we looking at? Everybody say spiritual strength. All right, stay with me. Stay with me. Say spiritual strength. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're looking at spiritual strength. That's what I need. I need spiritual strength. I don't need mind over matter. I need some spiritual strength that's going to rise up on the inside. It's a spiritual thing. I'm a spiritual candidate, and by right, it has been promised. Glory to God. Amen. Everybody say, he promised it. He promises. All right, watch this. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you. Everybody say, he promised me strength. Yeah, he promised you strength. He promised me spiritual. Everybody say, spiritual strength. All right, and watch this. Go over to the Old Testament because it's recorded there. Go to Psalms 27. Psalms 27. He promises me strength. I have a right to believe for strength. The reason I'm reading all of these scriptures to you is because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. So when I go through even now situations, I'm depending on spiritual strength. Amen. Well, how come you wasn't crying at the funeral and you didn't, you act like you didn't love your mama. You didn't even cry. I'm spiritually strong on the inside. Amen. I know mama with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I don't have to try to get in the casket. That's just the house she used to live in. And it's just me crying, laying all in the casket. I want to go. No, you don't. Amen. So you ain't got to prove to folk that you loved the person who passed away. All right, look at verse 14. All right, it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine what? Heart. He didn't say strengthen your muscle. He didn't say strengthen your mind. He said he's going to strengthen your spirit. Yeah. Everybody say, wait on the Lord. Wait on. Now, they're waiting on the Lord, not sitting back doing this. That wait on the Lord is about worship. Yeah. And when I worship him, he's going to strengthen me. Amen? All right, while we're there, let's go to Psalms 31 and verse 34. Psalms 31 and verse 34. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So I understand now that I'm being strengthened on the inside. Everybody say strengthened on the inside. All right, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I know I'm reading a lot of scripture, but I'm reading a lot of scripture because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. And you need to understand where your strength comes from. The strength we're talking about is not a mental toughness that you're going to get by, sitting in somebody's, psychology chair, that sort of thing. No, I'm not against that. You understand? It's not some strength you're going to get by going to the gym. This is a spiritual strength that comes from the inside that gives you the tenacity to hold fast to your confession. Folks understand, I don't see how you could do that. Well, you understand, it's not I, but the Christ in me. Not by might, nor by power, but by spirit. You got to say, and I can do all things through Christ, whose strength, ongoing strength, I don't wear out. I don't give out. 33 years of this church. Ain't tired at all. Ain't tired at all. My whole restructuring ain't about me being tired and I need to just sit down somewhere. No, I can't wait to get to the next level and phase of what God wants me to do. As I help Dr. I in this pastoral realm, God's opening up a whole nother realm for me. Amen. Amen. I am not tired. I am so excited. I said, well, we could tell. Yes, I'm telling you, I am. Lady Bridget, we ain't tired. Oh, my God. It's 33 years. I'll tell you, I'm 65. That retirement made every time at age. I need to go sit myself down somewhere. No. No. The Bible says we flourish even in what they call old age. And I got a whole lot of, other compadres around here. Amen. And y'all better quit talking over, child, when you get this age. Well, you talk like that. I ain't talking like that. Amen. It's time for us now to demonstrate that stuff we talked about when we were in our 30s and when we was in our 40s. Anybody could talk that stuff back then. You got age on your side. But now you're in the culture now that says at 60 and 65 and 70, you're supposed to be powering down. We ain't powering down. I can tell you, you get old if you want to. I tell all the preachers, all my preacher friends, I'm calling, they all talk about how old they get. I say, you can get old if you want to. You can do all that talking if you want to. And forget you said and you talk. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. You can forget that and now bring on old age and all of the ailments that come with old age because you're calling them on yourself. Yeah. But leave me out. Don't talk about when we get this age. No, 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 no. Don't put me in that category. I am not in that category. I love it when they say, you don't look 65. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Wait, I was. Y'all messing with me. Where was I? Where was I? Ephesians chapter 6, come on, come on, I got to get this. Finally, verse 10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the what?
Power
of his might. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to go to Nehemiah chapter 8 and wait there. And then the rest of these scriptures, I'm just going to have to hold them because I do want to get to where I'm supposed to be. All right, I got a good time, I think. Is that? Huh? So what's that? That's 14? Is it? Y'all been that good of a class? What you say? All right, that's good. That's good. That's good. All right, here's where I want to go. But since I got 14, back up to Luke 22. Now, I want you to see this because I want your faith to be ready to receive. Because what God told me to do, I'm excited about this next phase because I'm going to lay hands on you. For you to receive, and you're going to understand how to receive it based on these scriptures that I'm going to be reading to you. Everybody said we're talking about being spiritually strong. Yeah, because I'm going to speak something into your spirit that's going to manifest in your life with a new level of stamina and expectation. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this. I'm telling y'all, when the Lord tell me to do something, y'all don't understand. Man, I get so excited. Because I know what he's about to do in your life. Man, some of that tiredness and weariness is about to leave you. I'm telling you. All right. Now, here's Jesus in the garden, Luke chapter 22. And watch this. He says there in verse 42. Verse 41. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, what? Strengthening him. So he's getting spiritual strength from heaven. Everybody say spiritual strength from heaven. Now there's some of you, you got a tiredness in your life. But God will give you spiritual strength. He will energize you from the inside. Amen. Now I've been proving it from the scripture. There is spiritual strength. And many of you have never released your faith for spiritual strength. You follow me? But we can see this all through the scripture that he'll strengthen you in your inward man. Amen. Can you see that? Have been reading that? And that even Jesus was strengthened in his inner man. The angel strengthened him. All right? Now, so then from scripture we see spiritual strength is received from teaching. Right. Because when the word was taught, the Bible says, and then the Holy Spirit fell on them. So the teaching of the word of God can bring spiritual strength. All right? Spiritual strength can be received through touching. Over in the book of Daniel, it talks about how Daniel said the angel touched him and he was strengthened. That's Daniel chapter 10 and verses 18 and 19. Spiritual strengthening is received through teaching, through touching, watch this, through testifying. That's the purpose when we gather here and we have testimonies. There's a power. See, Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, said the devil desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brother. When you come through, you testify so others will be strengthened by your testimony. Now, come on, let's see. How many, when I've given a testimony, just kind of woke you up? You just said, yeah, praise the Lord. See, there's a spiritual strength that took place by a testimony. So I can receive spiritual strength, class number one, through teaching. Number two, through what? Touching. Number four, through what? Testifying. Watch this. And then number five, through my temperament. Let's say my temperament. Everybody say my temperament. My attitude. All right, watch this. I think it's Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. See, I can succumb to my flesh wanting some sympathy. Need to be sad. Things didn't work out like I wanted. Or I can do like Abraham. The Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now I got a spiritual promise that the joy of the Lord becomes strength to me. Well, you faking it till you make it. No, I'm not faking it. I'm faithing it. Because it's by faith that I'm trusting that the joy of the Lord, my rejoicing in the Lord, strengthens me. So I come to church dragging. But after they finish praising the Lord, amen, amen. After Pastor P finished bootlegging her sermon on us. Amen, amen. After the bishop finished preaching that word, somehow or another, I walked in like this, but I walked out like this. I got strength on the inside. I'm ready for the next round. I'm ready for the next fight. Why? I have even now faith. Amen. All right, amen. Now, go with me your Bibles. We're going to close this out with James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Amen. So my strength is anchored in the accuracy of Scripture. Yeah, I'm spiritually strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Accuracy of Scripture. I believe this word. Man, this is truth without error. I love this word. It is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Amen. Nothing can stop it from growing. He says this word will perform. He said it will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that I send. Boy, I tell you, I have much confidence in this word. I'm not thinking about going back to religion. I'm sold on this word. I'm sold on this. Even now, even now. Everybody say even now, even now. All right, watch this. And so my strength is anchored in the ability of the Savior. He's able. Everybody say he's able. Yeah. Now that's the thing. He's able. It's his ability. I'm trusting him. Amen. All right. So it's not by my goodness or anything like that. God's going to bless me because he's merciful. He's going to bless me because I'm faithful. Amen. I'm going to bless me because I trust him. Amen. What did I tell you to go? James 1. Again. Everybody say we're at James 1 again. All right. We're going to read the same passage, but we're going to see something else in it. Amen. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this. Everybody say, knowing this. Knowing this. I ask the first person next to you, what does he know? All right. All right, go to Romans chapter 8. Here's what I know. Romans chapter 8. Everybody say, he knows something. Yeah, he says, I can count it all joy. I can have joy knowing this. I can change. I can be strengthened because of my temperament. I do something on purpose so that I can activate the spiritual strength that's been deposited on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And because he lives on the inside of me, there's a strength that comes on the inside of me. And you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost comes upon you. You filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a power, that's an empowerment on the inside of you. More powerful than a 5-hour. More 5-hour than a Red Bull. I'm telling you, Mark, you got a power on the inside of you when you learn to tap into it. Amen. And so, see, some of y'all just need to release faith for some strength. Because you got everybody running to town, and boy, they wearing you down. You understand? You listening to all of that? And them fellas told me years ago, man, what you doing ain't going to work. That stuff ain't going to work, man. I don't know what you're doing. That ain't going to work. They gave us 30 days. They said,
that stuff here you do, doing that ain't gonna work. Give him 30 days, you're gonna see where the church is. 33 years, look where we are.
Yeah. What am I saying? Sometimes you gotta get away from them tired folk.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that Jesus didn't talk to the man around all the porch folk? The Bible said there were five porches and people were everywhere. But Jesus didn't talk to the man around the porch folk. Because the porch people, they like the porch. No, they do. I'm telling you, yeah. Some of your friends like to be in the state they're in.
Yeah.
And they tell you how hard it is, how tough it is. Yeah. Don't give brother a break, can't make it.
Yeah.
They're going to blame everybody.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, watch this. Everybody say he knows something. Verse 8:28. And we know. Oh, wait a minute. It's not just something I know, but it's something we can all know. Look, person say, well, I know it too. All right, let's see what we know. And we know that all things work together for what? For good. To them that, how many love God? And to them who are the called according to his purpose. So watch this. I can count it all joy, and the joy of the Lord becomes my strength because of what I know. I know that things are working together for my good. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay, watch this, that it has not happened as quick as I wanted it to happen because God is up to something. And I don't have to let circumstances sour me. And the more joy and rejoicing I do, the stronger I'm going to get. Amen, amen. So I'm going to have peace in my home. I'm going to have peace on my job. I'm going to have peace everywhere I go because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can handle this in Jesus' name. Are you there? Hey, can I give you one more scripture and then I'm going to close it out? Man, I'm going to do that.
One more time.
No. Yes. You know, I'm going to close. If I go this route, I ain't going to have time to finish. And I do want to finish and stay within my time because they didn't think I could. They didn't think I could, understand? And I have. Have you been blessed?
Amen.
Now, the whole point is I want you to get your faith up to receive this strength. I said I want to get your faith up to receive strength because this initially is not about feeling.
Amen.
It's about a principle in the Word of God. That I'll be strengthened in my inner man. Amen. And this strength is perpetuated through my temperament, the joy of the Lord. Now, the Lord told me to touch you. That's why I'm going to touch everybody.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, as I said, I never go by emotions. I don't go by emotions. I go by obedience. Because something is going to happen in your spirit, just like getting saved. See, when you get saved, you don't necessarily have to feel anything. It is the truth of the Word of God. And in a matter of time, there is a peace that comes over you where you have this assurance of your salvation. So when I put my hands on you tonight and I'm going to touch it and I'm going to speak strength over you, you're just going to receive it. You're going to receive it and then just rejoice in the Lord. And then you're going to watch manifestation occur. Amen. That tiredness is going to leave. Some of y'all, that tiredness is going to leave before you get out of here.
Amen.
Amen. Because it's a spiritual strengthening. How many in expectation tonight? Yeah. Expectation tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to need my ushers to help me. And I need you to, I need my musicians. Y'all get ready, get in place. And then I need you to be sensitive enough when we do this. Because we probably need to do it in sections, and that way, and then I want you to go back. Don't snatch the blessing and go home. I'm not going to receive another offering, so don't think, I'll get out of here for this reason. No, I ain't going to do that. I'm not. But I want you to stay here so that we can stay in agreement with everybody else getting their part. Amen? So can we do that? Amen? Now, please understand, it's only if you got a witness. If you say, I don't want to go down and lay hands on me, fine. It ain't going to be no problem for me. I only obey God. That's all I'm doing right now is obey God. God has something for you tonight. Amen. He has something for you tonight. And I think you have a witness from this word. Amen. And we have a joy because of what we know. And we know that all things working together for our good. Even when you can't see how it's working. I told you, and I close and y'all can move this, I guess. It'd probably be better to move this. And that way we can put people all around. We were in Bangor, Maine, and we were trying to get our jet off the runway because a storm was coming, a snowstorm was coming. And last thing we wanted to do is be stranded in Bangor, Maine in a snowstorm. And so we knew we had to get some fuel and get out of there. And man, I'm telling you, I'm kind of anxious about them taking off. Let's go on and take off. So we got fueled up, and then I could see the whiteout coming where you could see buildings at one time, and then as the snow was coming, those buildings would disappear. So it gets closer and closer and closer. And the last thing I want to do is be in a whiteout and snowed out in Bangor, Maine. Got it? So we had fueled up, and now we were on the runway. And they are still not taking off. And, you know, when you have your own jet, you can go all over the plane. You ain't got to sit there and, they make you do nothing. Praise the Lord. So you can walk all around if you want to, you understand? You ain't got to be sitting there with your seat belts and all this. So they're not taking off quick enough for me. So I unbuckle my belt, and I go up to the cockpit because I wonder what's going on. We need to get out of here. Got it? Because we waited for a while. And then when I get up there, I see that the tower has given instructions to the snow plows to freshly plow the runway for us. So while I'm waiting and over anxious, the powers that be are making it possible for me to have a safe takeoff. You see what I'm saying? So it's just like this. You may not see all that God is doing, taking a little longer than you wanted to take, but you got to have that confidence. He's working it out. And everything is working together for my good. Amen and amen. Hey, Lady B, you want to come down here and help me?